Good to see you here today. If you don't know who I am, I'm Steve. I'm the pastor here, and it's great to have you with us today on what is a day of celebration. It's a day of great joy, for this is kind of Easter Sunday, a day when we celebrate, we remember, we give thanks for the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Now, in one sense, that might sound really, really hard to believe, okay? So maybe you're struggling with the idea that there was a man called Jesus lived at all those years ago, and that he died on a cross, and then you're trying to tell me that he rose from the grave. That just sounds a little bit too difficult to believe. Well, we're going to read today, and we're going to think from the Bible about some people who also thought it was a little bit too difficult to believe. It was hard to kind of get their heads around. So if that's you this morning, then don't worry, because a lot of people think like you, okay? A lot of people have always thought like you, all the way back, including some people in the Bible, and we're going to think about some of them today. But let's read a few verses in the Bible. So Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12 is where we're going to start. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to you, the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others that were with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves and went away, wondering to himself what had happened. There is lots and lots of historical evidence. There are many historians who have no faith in Jesus being the Savior, Jesus being God, who would say that this point, up until this point, definitely happened. Historical event. A man called Jesus, who was a teacher and healer, died by crucifixion under Roman rule. But this is where the controversy begins. Did that man rise from the grave? Today is the anniversary, the best day in history of the world. And it's brilliant to celebrate it together. This is the day that we remember and we celebrate that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. The day that he conquered death, forgave sins, and in his grace opened up a way for us to enter the throne room of heaven, into the presence of God himself. And so we celebrate, we sing loud and we sing joyfully. Now, if through faith you know the Savior, then you'll also know that he lives. We've been singing that he lives. And that also means that you know that that changes the whole world. That changes the course of history for every single one of us. Whether we believe it or know it, it doesn't matter. It changes history for everyone. It changes our lives and it changes our eternity. But yet, as I said, it's possible that you doubt. Doubt it could be true. Or doubt that it's true for you. It's a common kind of thing in our culture, isn't it? It's kind of, that's good for you, and that may be your truth, but it's not for me. It's not my truth, and maybe you feel like that. Luke 24, verse 13. Now that same day, okay, Jesus risen from the grave, they went to the tomb, they found the linen all folded up. That same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing? What are you talking about together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." And so he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks and he broke it and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning while he was talking with us on the road and opened the scripture with us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and said, "It's true, the Lord has risen, has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when they broke bread. We're celebrating together today. But yet Jesus, on Resurrection Day, he himself didn't go to a party. He didn't go to a celebration. He didn't go to the rich and the powerful. He didn't go to the composed and the assured. He didn't go to the believing and the triumphant. But he went to doubters and skeptics. He went to the fearful, the disappointed, the broken. Jesus is building an upside down kingdom, not based on strength and wealth, but based on grace and for the poor and the powerless. And so if today you're not sure whether this whole thing is true or not, then know this. Jesus rose from the grave and went to those who are like you. He went to those that are like you, that are not sure whether this is true, the disappointed, the broken, the fragile, the wondering, the bemused and confused. Jesus went to those who are like you. And so I believe that he wants to come to you too. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants to come to you, to draw near, to walk alongside, to comfort you, to give you courage and strength, to show himself to be truth, to show himself to be your saviour. Jesus is not weakened by your doubts and not perturbed by your fear. Yes, he is offended by your sin. But he doesn't withdraw, and neither does he turn his face. But this is the means of your forgiveness, the cross and the glorious resurrection. For Jesus said he was the good shepherd, the one who went after the one. Luke 15, verse 3-7 says, "Then Jesus told them a parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." It's not that Jesus doesn't care about the 99, but today they are safe. They are happy and content. Today they are celebrating. But the one that's lost, the one is very much noticed. The one is seen and thought about. The one is wanted. Maybe you found yourself today here in a crowd, but feeling lost, not sure if you fit in, or even where you might. But God sees you. God notices you. God loves you. God knows exactly how you feel. And so not only did Jesus come to die for you, but he came to be true. He came to be the good shepherd. He came to come looking for you. That on the greatest day in history, he went looking for those who are like you. And so that means that I believe that on this day, by his Spirit, he is looking for you. For a shepherd cares for his sheep. A shepherd fights for his sheep. A shepherd provides for them and values them. And Resurrection Day is the proof of that. That the shepherd came for you. He died for you. And then he comes looking for you. Life can feel pretty rubbish at times, can't it? Life can feel pretty hard. Maybe you are in the midst of a hard spell, a hard time in your life right now. Maybe it's not that long ago that you remember it, because life can feel pretty rubbish at times. But we have a good shepherd who will never leave us or abandon us, but will offer us grace upon grace. And we all need to see it, don't we? We all need to see that we can all feel like that, but then we need to know that God sent his Son to come looking for us when we feel just like that. Today in the room, I don't know how many people are here, I've not counted you. We don't do a register, we don't do a click or anything like that. But there will be two kinds of people in the room today. You'll either be those who are metaphorically in the 99, safe, secure, content, confident in God's provision, and so full of celebration. You've loved to sing worship to the Saviour this morning. You know that you are forgiven. You know that you are free. Not perfect, but declared righteous by the power of the cross, the wonder of the resurrection, and so full of celebration and joy. You know that there was one crucified on the Friday, that he rose on the Sunday, and so you celebrate. With joy in your hearts and meaning in your soul, you celebrate. You give thanks for Jesus, the one who has come and set you free, full of faith that he is indeed the one. The one that had been hoped for, the one that had been waited for. You are sure that it is him, the great Redeemer, and so you celebrate. Or you are akin to the one lost sheep, akin to the two on the road to Emmaus, defeated, full of questions and doubt, an onlooker. Were you not there? We saw it. We thought it was the one, but no, we're not sure. He died. They nailed him to a cross. I had hope, but my hope is gone. Maybe you have known hope for better days, but now you feel that hope is gone, perhaps. What did we read? A prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one. Maybe you're wondering, how could he be the Messiah? How could a dead man be the Saviour of the world? If what I hear about the Friday is true, that they stripped him naked, they beat him, they whipped him to within an inch of his life, they spat upon his face, they laughed at him and taunted him, could he really be the Saviour of the world? Could he really be the one? They killed him by crucifixion. They had wondered if there was really hope. There was a glimmer of it, but now they're not sure. And maybe you feel just like that. But Jesus went to them. Jesus went to them on the greatest day. He went to them on Resurrection Day. And when he was with them at the table, he broke bread with them. He gave thanks, began to give it to them, and then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. My prayer this morning is that your eyes will be open to see what you as of yet not seen. They walked with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, but they were kept from recognizing. We don't know how. We don't really know why. But Jesus was there with them and they didn't see it. And maybe today you find yourself and you think, well, I've heard this story before, but I have not seen the power of it. I've not seen the truth of it. I've not seen the joy of it. They were kept from seeing it. My prayer for you this morning is that your eyes will be open to what you as of yet not seen. that the truth of the one that you hear of is for you, that the Messiah is alive. It's often thought that they recognized Jesus at this moment as they saw the nail marks in his hands as he broke bread and shared it with them. We don't know whether that's true or not, but it does remind us of how he is the Messiah, for the nail marks remind us of his sacrifice, for they hammered nails through his hands so as to hang him on a cross. Punishment determined by God, not for his own sins, but for ours. But for ours. Again, I pray that you may see what has been in front of you the whole time. They'd walked 7 miles. I don't know if you're a quick walker or not, but how long would it take you to walk 7 miles? They'd been with Jesus a while, but they had not seen how true it was until that moment. Jesus had been there with them, in front of them, alongside them, talking with them in plain sight, and they had not seen it. It may be that you have heard songs today that speak of something that maybe you have heard about, but songs that you are not familiar with. Jesus has been in plain sight. My prayer is that you would see what's been in front of you the whole time, the miracle of a saviour. Now, if none of this is true, if none of this is true, then the Bible says that I'm to be pitied. But yet I believe in my soul that it is true. And I think that you know it's true as well. And so if it's true, then what are you going to do about it? How do you respond to this truth? Well, repent of your sin to God. Tell God you are sorry for your sins of the past. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus who bore your sins on the cross and rose victorious on the third day. The resurrection is victorious, for death didn't win. It wasn't enough. It wasn't the end, for Jesus rose. That they stripped him naked, beat him to an inch of his life and hung him nailed to a cross. He died. They shoved a spear through his side and the blood poured out. Jesus died. They put him in a tomb and rolled a huge stone over the entrance. And then he rose because it couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. Jesus rose, conquered the grave, defeated sin once and for all, for it wasn't enough. It wasn't the end. And so hope is there for all of us. Hope is alive and hope is true for each and every one of us. And why does that matter? Well, it matters that we can know his shepherding strength today. We can know the hope and the certainty of eternal life in the future. For Jesus rose. I'm going to pray, and you might want to pray along with me. Jesus, I am so sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry that you had to die in my place. So thankful that you did. Help me to live a life that follows you, leaving all of my sins behind. And one day, Lord, I look forward to being with you in paradise. Amen. Amen. We've read about something that happened today. The two on the road to Emmaus, they were met with Jesus and they urged him to come and eat with them. Come and rest a while with us. And he broke bread and wine with them. We have bread and wine on the table here. And maybe in one sense, it's a bit of a peculiar thing to see. Because we're kind of sat in a school hall on not so particularly comfortable benches. And then at the front, there's a white tablecloth with wooden plates and bread and wine. What's that all about? Well, it's about this. For Jesus said to the disciples, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. They're emblems, they're symbols to remind us of Jesus, remind us of his life, remind us of his sacrifice. The bread that speaks of his body that was broken, the wine that speaks of his blood that was shed for us. Many of you today will identify with being in the 99, safe, content, full of celebration, knowing that you are provided for, knowing that you are protected, knowing that a shepherd stands at the gate to defend you from attack. And so wanting and desiring, and it's right for us to remember, to celebrate, to give thanks to Jesus, the one who came to be the saviour of the world. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to pass this around together. If it comes to you and you think, I don't know about this Jesus, I don't know whether he's my saviour or not, then just pass it along to the person next to you. That's fine. But if maybe today, just like these two on the road to Emmaus, in that moment, yeah, you kind of saw it. What had been in front of you the whole time, but you'd never noticed it, has suddenly now kind of become true. All the lights have come on. You see it for what it is, that Jesus came to be your saviour. Then maybe you've never done this before, but it doesn't mean you can't do it today. Take bread and eat. Take wine and drink and remember, give thanks for Jesus who came to be your saviour, who came to be your good shepherd. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this bread and wine. We thank you for this kind of remembrance that you instigated for us all those years ago to help us remember, to draw our attention back to the person and the sacrifice of your son, the Lord Jesus. To eat bread to signify your body that was given for us, to drink wine to symbolize your blood that was shed for us. Father, we thank you that on Good Friday you died for us, but on Easter Sunday you rose. And so, Lord, today we eat this feast not in kind of somber, mournful and kind of regret, but joy and thanksgiving for what that has given us. Celebration that because of this, because of the resurrection, our sins are forgiven, our eternity is secure. We're going to be with you one day. Lord, I pray that we would all come to know and see what has been in front of us the whole time. The truth of Jesus, the truth of the crucifixion and the power of the resurrection. Amen. Amen.